Well, if you have Mark chapter 1 open, you'll find that useful as we come to these verses this morning. I didn't know that keeping a scrapbook was something that people still do, but I Googled it this week and I discovered that there's quite an industry in scrapbooks, and people have all sorts of suggestions and ideas for how that might happen. And a scrapbook is something that people keep for different reasons, but usually in a family situation, it's like a collection of key moments or key events, and it might be a cutting from a newspaper on a page, a photograph of grandparents, a ticket from some holiday adventure, a receipt for a piece of jewelry, or maybe a bunch of dried flowers. There's lots of things that can go into a scrapbook, and each item is there for a reason. It's significant, and it all fits into a wider family context. And as I came to these closing verses of Mark chapter 1, I thought, there's a little snippet here from Mark. There's a little screenshot there, a little tidbit of this, and there's something else over there. And as he closes out this first chapter, it's a sense I felt of a scrapbook. There's this kind of bit of this and bit of that. He's educating us. He's moving our hearts, but he's inviting a response. And I thought that's what we can use to tie these little stories together today. How did people respond to Jesus Christ? And I want to focus on three responses to Christ that we see here in these closing verses, and that's going to be the tying together of the little pieces of this and the little pieces of that. Mark, remember, was using Peter as a source, and I can imagine Peter saying, oh, remember this and I remember that, and he fired out a story here and he fired out a story there, and Mark was scribbling away the eyewitness account that he was being given. So let me think, first of all, and these should come up on the screen, people responding to Jesus. The first one is those who were serving him. And that was Peter's mother-in-law, who lay in bed with a fever, says verse 30. Now, how bad the fever was, we are not told, but from the fact she was in bed, it would seem she was shivering and sweating, and she was weak, and too weak to be up and about. And yet when Christ heard about her and that she was in bed with a fever, he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she rose up to serve Christ and those who were with him. All in the spirit of Isaiah 53, he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. But what I thought as I looked at this passage and this little snapshot here of the experience of Peter's mother-in-law is the way in which she rises up to serve Christ, to minister to them, to wait on them. This woman, we don't know how bad her fever was, but it was bad enough to confine her to bed. But when she was recovered and she rose up, her desire was to serve Christ and the people who were with Christ, the body of Christ. She ministered unto them. She began to wait on them. And there's a lesson here, I thought, for those of us who have had Christ come into our lives and change us and cure us from our sins, from our infirmities. Are we now seeking to live lives that are useful for Christ? It's easy to live selfish lives. It's easy just to do what you want all the time. But have you ever said to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Here was a woman who wanted to minister wherever he had placed her, however she could, to do something to improve the kingdom of God and the king's life and his name and his reputation, that he might go from her home and that he might further glorify God and preach the word of God across the land. Martin Luther said famously that the farmer milking cows can just as much glorify God as the minister preaching sermons or praying prayers. And folks, there is, I think, in this story this morning, encouragement to us wherever God has placed us to do what we do to the glory of God. Whether it's milking cows or preaching sermons or teaching children or filling in forms or working on a computer, whatever, do it to the glory of God, to serve Christ. She began to wait on them and she rose up to serve him. The second response to Jesus that I want to draw your attention to today, and let me say, just to come back to that slightly, I mean, unless we are seeking to serve Christ, we end up floating along in our Christianity like driftwood blown by the wind and the waves. Those of us who know the grace of God in our lives, we ought to be seeking to serve him where we are and how we have gifts to use in his service. Lord, what can I do for you? And I want to just come back to that and drive that home to you. It's easy to drift, to float about here and float about there. But Lord, I want to serve you here, where you've put me. And who knows how, if we serve God today, what he will ask of us tomorrow. But there is that desire here in this woman, this mother-in-law of Peter, to give herself to serving him in the here and now. But then there were also those who were struggling with Jesus, and Peter actually was one of them. Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And I love here a little snippet of the prayer life of Jesus Christ. He may have been the Son of God. He may have been the one upon whom the Spirit of God rested and the Holy Spirit had come down upon him like a dove. But what a glimpse we have here of the Savior in communion with God in prayer. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went off, says verse 38, to a solitary place where he prayed on his own to God. John Calvin said, "Prayer is nothing else than the opening up of the heart before God." And I thought that is such a helpful description of prayer, an opening up of your heart before God. It's just not God bless me and God bless my family. It's God, here's my heart, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Write on my heart, Lord, what you want me to do, Lord. I want to have a heart for you, Lord. I wonder when the last time you or I got before God and opened up our hearts before him in an act of devotion and confession and seeking direction. But remember I said those who were struggling with him, and Peter was struggling with Jesus. And there's a note of exasperation when he goes and seeks for Jesus, eventually finds him, and he says in verse 38, "Everyone's looking for you." What are you doing out here is the sense of what Peter has said. There's a queue of people. They're all arriving from early to see you, and here you are out here in the middle of nowhere. But Jesus here is demonstrating to Peter that the essence of spiritual life is not found in busyness. It's found in quietness. And unless you get to the quiet place, you'll not be any use in the busyness. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still, says Exodus 14 and verse 14. Jesus was finding stillness before God before he went out into the busyness. And notice too, as well as Peter struggling with Jesus, the crowds were struggling with him as well. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Whenever Jesus heard that there were crowds of people queuing up to see him, Peter probably expected Jesus to go immediately to the crowds, but Jesus actually went away from the crowds. He didn't go back with Peter and start healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and driving out demons. He left them and went elsewhere. And the reason is given in verse 38. He says, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. Because you see, the primary reason Jesus Christ came was not to heal sick people, was not to perform miracles, was not to cleanse the lepers of the world. If that was the primary reason he had come, the main reason would have been lost. Miracles were only signs to validate him, to prove he was who he said he was. The main reason he had come was to preach God's word, to call people to repent and to faith in God, and to believe in kingdom come and in the power of God and in the glory of God. And physical healing may come, and it's great if it does, but if your soul is not saved, this is the problem with just seeking healing from diseases and seeking healing from this or seeking healing for that. If your soul is not saved, it's a very, very short-term solution. If your soul eventually goes out into darkness and separation from God. And no wonder people struggled with him, as they do now. Modern people just don't know what to make of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? So often in the modern church, if you proclaim a healing meeting, people will flock in big crowds, but if it's just the preaching of the word, they're not really that interested. But Jesus said, that is the reason why I've come, to preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And the crowd were exasperated, I'm reckoning, when Peter went back and said, sorry, he's not coming, he's moved on. What? We have brought so-and-so here who needs healing. Well, I'm sorry, he's gone. Because you see, Jesus doesn't tick our boxes. Jesus doesn't do what you want him to do. Discipleship is whether you come before him and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Your Lord, not me. And if Christ is just fitting with our agendas and we're expecting him, and lots of people nowadays tag Jesus onto their agenda and say, Jesus would want this, or Jesus would want that, or all sorts of weird things people are tagging Jesus onto nowadays. But if you're tagging Jesus onto your agenda, are you not Lord? And you're expecting him to follow your agenda whenever actually he is Lord. And the question should be, Lord, what would you have me to do? Not, Lord, I want you to bless what I'm doing. And that's why people struggle with Jesus and the lordship of Christ. Peter was struggling with it. The crowds were struggling with it. And people are struggling today. So we've had those who served him, Peter's mother-in-law. We have those struggling with him. The last group of people are those who are seeking him out. And they're represented by the leper in the last part of the scrapbook at the end here of the chapter. Now let me just say, leprosy was and is a horrible disease. The bacterium causes loss of sensation in your nervous system that leads to the gradual destruction of your bones, starting at the tips of your fingers, and it works in. Or the tips of your toes, and it works in, and they begin to crumble from the outside in. It can gather in your nasal cavity, and then it eats away at your nose. And it leaves many lepers are facially disfigured. It can cause all sorts of problems, and it leaves people feeling unclean. Verse 40, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The man knew he was unclean, and especially in the eyes of God. And no one touched lepers. You can imagine if somebody came in with a horribly contagious disease, you just wouldn't go anywhere near them. And leprosy wasn't understood in Bible times. The only thing people understood was you didn't go anywhere near a leper. And nobody touched them except for other lepers. So when the man came and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Verse 41 says, Jesus was filled with compassion. And he reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. The Puritan Richard Sibbes puts it like this: when Christ saw the people in misery, his bowels yearned within him. The works of grace and mercy in Christ, they come from his bowels first. We say nowadays we feel something from the pit of our stomach. Bible times, they talked about your bowels. Feel something from your bowels. And that's the sense here of the understand the Greek behind this. When Jesus was filled with compassion, he was stirred to the depths of his being. The awfulness of the man's plight, the fate that was almost worse than death, the deep desire Jesus had to do something for the man. No wonder the book of Hebrews says he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. But the point is, the man had to seek him out. The man had to come to Jesus, full of leprosy as he was. He didn't hang back and say, "Well, wait and see, can I get a cure for this leprosy?" He went to Jesus as he was and begged him on his knees. He humbled himself, desperately crying out, "If you are willing, you can make," and there's faith there. Do you hear the faith? "If you are willing, you can make me clean. I believe you can do it." The question was Jesus willing? And the good news is, Jesus is willing. "I am willing. Be clean," he said. And he cleansed him from the leprosy that had so afflicted and affected his life. And you know, there's people hang back to this day, don't they, from Jesus. "He wouldn't want me. My life's too messed up. I've done so many things. I've got so many stains on my life. I've got so many weaknesses and I've got so many issues. He wouldn't touch me." But he touched the leper. He willingly accepted the leper. He was moved with compassion towards the leper, because for those who come to Jesus humbly, confessing their sin, believing that he is able to forgive them, they are ransomed, they are healed, they are restored, they are forgiven. No matter what you've done, no matter what your background, no matter what your afflictions, you'll be made holy in the eyes of a holy God. And there's no cleaner, no better, no holier place to be than with Christ and his hand upon your life. So as I end today, what is your response to Jesus Christ today? Because the reality is, we're all making a response. The hardest atheist, whose heart wants nothing to do with anything that I have said, maybe watching online or here in this building, or just someone who would never come near a church or listen to somebody like me under any circumstances ever, that person's making a response to Jesus Christ. We're all doing it. "He who is not for me is against me," Jesus said. Are you serving him? Well, if you are serving him today, keep on serving, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep on serving. Are you struggling with him? Are you unsure? Are you exasperated, confused, because he's not fitting your expectancy, your agenda? It's time to let him be your Lord. Are you searching him out for salvation? Maybe you're not a Christian today and you know, you're aware in your life of things that just need cleansed, to be made right with God. Well, then come to him. We're going to sing in a moment or two, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Because he is willing. He said so. I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. So this is a scrapbook. Little bits of this and little bits of that. But the theme is coming to Jesus. Responding to Jesus. And I urge you today as we leave here that God would write his word in all of our hearts and would be glorified in all of our lives. Let's pray.